All right, folks, I'm Drew Berkowitz. This is my show today, and this is it. This is the end of the week right here. And there's a mayoral race, so we'll get to that. I'll describe again the break towards the end of the show. But you've heard it for several days now, so at least spare you at the beginning. But welcome to all you guys coming in. Glad you're here. Thanks for being here. But there's this mayoral race ongoing in New York, right? Which has been a pretty interesting race. Lord knows they need some help up there. De Blasio's and Cuomo, the two of them, have destroyed the city. But it's a big one. It's a big race. Big race in the Big Apple. But similar to a story that we've seen far too many times, particularly as of late, the last 6 to 8 months here, the vote tally changed drastically last night. Overnight. Election officials in New York City have retracted. At least they retracted it. Their latest vote totals for the Democratic primary for mayor, they say 135,000 test ballots. 135,000 test ballots were inadvertently included in the count. They issued this statement, and I'll read it. The Board of Elections conducts rigorous and mandatory pre-qualification testing for every election. It has been determined that ballot images used for testing were not cleared from the Election Management System, or EMS. EMS produces cast vote records, CVR, from ballot images. RCV software uses the CVR to produce unofficial results. When the cast vote records were extracted for the first poll of RCV results, it included both test and election night results, producing approximately 135,000 additional records. Board staff has removed all the test ballot images from the system and will upload election night results cross-referencing against election night reporting software for verification. The cast vote record will be regenerated and the RCV rounds will be retabulated. Board apologizes for the error and has taken immediate measures to ensure the most accurate and up-to-date results are reported. So kind of sketchy, right? And frustrating when you've seen this kind of stuff happen so often now. It's become kind of more commonplace that there's abnormalities and crazy jumps and twists and turns in these elections than we'd like to see. But they're appearing to adjust it, to fix it. Again, we'll see. It's on the Democratic primary side, so sure, there's still politics going on behind the scenes. But it's not encouraging to see. But as a recap, because this is just one city, mind you, an important one, but it's one city with a massive mistake, we'll call it. We'll just finger parents' mistake. And the people are, of course, questioning why this happened, what's behind it, what's going on with it, the legitimacy of all of this, as they should be. But what's interesting about it is the conversation that's happening surrounding this Democratic primary in New York with this now data, with the company even coming out and admitting it and saying that they will retabulate the votes, that there was 135,000 vote swing, is that there's discussion about it. And they get, at least a lot of the people who I've seen commenting back and forth on this so far, get that, okay, we should probably get to the bottom of this. But if you question a presidential election, far more, I think we can all agree, far more consequential and important than the New York City mayoral race. If you question that, which was separated by as little as 45,000 votes across several states, you're insane. You're insane. You must be a conspiracy theorist. You're a radical. All of that, despite sworn affidavits, again, despite a much more razor-thin race, after some very, very questionable things that happened. And even without the affidavits, you've got lots of fair questions that people went to bed, up massive amounts of votes, woke up, and it was over and had lost. But then you factor in the actual legal documents. But again, I mean, you those sworn affidavits. If you're lying there, that's perjury. There are consequences, significant consequences. And the other side, again, will say, but the cases got thrown out. None of them went anywhere. No. Remember the messaging here. Remember how they've said that. CNN has said that. MSNBC has said that. The Democrats have said that. When they all say it in unison, you usually know that it is just a line. And it's a line that they've gotten to stick, but the cases weren't thrown out. Most of them were not heard. They weren't thrown out on merit. They were thrown out on standing. We can't do this. This isn't our beef. This isn't our whatever, fill in the blank. But very few of them were actually seen, heard, listened to, and said, yeah, this isn't going to work. So don't buy the story. Because again, as this discussion ramps back up again with what's happening in New York and as it will play into the broader conversation with regards to election security throughout the country, the other side will say, yeah, but all those affidavits and all those cases, they're all thrown out. None of them worked. They were all denied, yada, yada, yada. Understand the verbiage. Understand the truth behind that. Did any of the cases go anywhere? Did any of them win and prove something? No, not really. I get that. But it wasn't because they were heard and dismissed. It's all in the phrasing. And they're really, really good, the other side, at getting their messaging on point. And I know I'm stating the obvious here. We know this. We're aware of this. But gosh, we're in a bad place, folks. We're in a bad place in so many ways. And hey, Alfredo from Portugal. Good to see you again. All right, let's get on. I got a long clip we're going to play here in a second, but it's a good clip. So we're going to do that, but first let's hear from Mammoth Nation. Mammoth Nation is America's conservative discount club. They are on a mission to keep this country great. Stick to the Constitution, your Second Amendment. They support our law enforcement, our military. It's better than a donation to a PAC or a candidate. They take the guesswork out for you, and in return, you get discounts on all sorts of amazing products and services, stuff that you're already paying for now, whether it's wireless, internet, insurance, medications, all sorts of other products that you need and want. So check it out. It's mammothnation.com. If you become a lifetime member like me, they'll send you American flag, some other goodies just for signing up. Again, it's mammothnation.com. Join the fight. All right. So please do that. And then I'm seeing your comments. Trump is at the border right now. You're right, 55 debacle. Plenty going on today. Plenty going on. And Sharon, we're going to get to what you're talking about here. So there's only
Friday,
one.
January 31st, 2020.
I'm going to pause that. We'll hold off on that for 1 second. There's only one thing, I think, that everyone should feel about. Not me. Obviously, you know my stance on it. But that everyone should feel about when you're thinking about or talking about Dr. Anthony Fauci. And that's that, like politicians, he's not on your side. He tries to portray himself as that. He says things that would indicate that, but he's not on your side. And in fact, you could say he's really more of a politician and a schemer than he is a doctor, and I think you'd be right. But there was another hearing yesterday, which Dr. Fauci refused to go to, by the way, as did some other key individuals. You'll hear about them, at least one of them, during this clip. But Senator Jim Jordan, who's been outstanding and is always aggressive and calls things like he sees them, laid out some real interesting details from Dr. Fauci's emails that, if you remember, were all captured through a FOIA request when BuzzFeed and the Washington Post submitted their request and got it. We've talked about it a lot, but these were some new ones. And this is a long and engaging clip, but I think that it's worthwhile to listen to. Take a listen.
Friday, January 31st, 2020, at 10:32 p.m., Dr. Fauci gets an email from Christian Anderson. Christian Anderson's a British researcher who's received numerous grants from NIH. Two really important sentences are in that email, two sentences that get Dr. Fauci's attention. The first is this: the unusual features of the virus make up a really small part of the genome, so one has to look really closely at all the sequences to see that some of the features look engineered. Again, this is January 31st, 2020. Second sentence: Eddie, Bob, Mike, and myself all find the genome inconsistent with expectations from evolutionary theory. Email arrives 10:32 to Dr. Fauci on January 31st, 2020. 2 hours later, at 12:29 in the morning, Dr. Fauci sends an email to his top deputy, Mr. Hugh Auchincloss. Guy has worked for Fauci for 15 years, part of his inner circle. Sends it, subject line says important in all capital letters. He attaches a paper on gain-of-function research written by Dr. Barrick and Dr. Shi. Dr. Shi, of course, is the so-called bat lady, bat woman, the lady who does research in the Wuhan, China lab. This email, Dr. Fauci says, again, to his top deputy, it is essential that we speak this AM. keep your cell phone on, read this paper. You will have tasks to do today that must be done. Notice the intensity. Notice the focus. I mean, this is the house is on fire email here. Now, 2 hours after that, at 2:48 in the morning, Dr. Fauci's busy this morning, 12:29, that email he sent to Dr. Auchincloss, his top deputy, 2 hours later at 2:48 in the morning, he sends another email, this one to Robert Kadlec, assistant HHS secretary, Trump appointee, not part of his inner circle, and he attaches a different article to this email, one that says the virus came from an animal that downplays any lab leak theory. Now, again, notice the tone of this one. Bob, this just came out today. Gives a balanced view. Best, Tony. I mean, totally different from the previous. This is one like, oh, if you get a chance, read this. Gives a balanced view. So the tone is different, but also that sentence, gives a balanced view, it's not true either. That's just not accurate. This article downplays, as I said, the lab leak theory, emphasizes evolutionary cause to the virus. What happens next? What happens next? Later that same morning at 11:47 a.m., Dr. Fauci's deputy gets back to him. I just want to read you this whole email. The paper you sent me, the one he sent him on that was written by the virologist from Wuhan, China, and Dr. Barrick, the paper you sent me says the experiments were performed before the gain-of-function pause but have since been reviewed and approved by NIH. Not sure what that means, since Emily, someone else who works for Dr. Fauci, is sure that no coronavirus work has gone through the P3 framework, which, of course, is the oversight body that's supposed to approve any grant dollars going for gain-of-function research. No coronavirus work has gone through the P3 framework. Final sentence, she will try to determine if we have any distant ties to this work abroad. She will try to determine if our fingerprints are on any of this. All these emails happen in 13 hours. So 13 hours after Dr. Fauci gets the initial email from Christian Anderson saying, looks like this virus is engineered, not consistent with evolutionary theory, Dr. Fauci knows some important facts. First, Dr. Fauci knows there's a lethal virus on the loose that started in Wuhan, China. Second, he knows the American taxpayers have funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan, China. Third, he knows that the research grant didn't go through the required oversight board. Fourth, he knows the virus, quote, looks engineered and, quote, not consistent with evolutionary theory. And finally, fifth, Dr. Fauci knows he may have ties to this work in China. His fingerprints, in fact, may be on this. So what does Dr. Fauci do next? After he says, oh, whatever, what does he do next? He organizes a conference call for later that same day. I mean, this is the busiest 24 hours I think I've ever seen. He organizes a conference call, 12 people on the call. Dr. Fauci and 11 virologists from around the world. Virologists who've gotten millions of American tax dollars over the past several years. Now look at this list. Here's the list of people. There's only two Americans on the list, Tony Fauci and one other. Most of them are from around the world, as I said. I think the first thing you notice is who's not on the call. Who's not on the list? Is Dr. Kadlec on the list? The guy he sent the email to at 3 in the morning? Is Dr. Redfield the head of CDC? Dr. Girard, who's with us today, assistant secretary at HHS at the time? Dr. Birx, the lady who's soon to be COVID response coordinator? In fact, there's no one from the government on the call except Tony Fauci. Tony Fauci and 11 other individuals who got a bunch of American tax dollars over the years. What happened on the conference call? The short answer is we don't know. We don't know what they talked about. I mean, I think we got a good idea. We don't know for sure. But we do know what happened 4 days later. 4 days later, February 4th, 2020, Christian Anderson, the guy who started it all, who said the virus looks engineered, Christian Anderson said this 4 days later. The crackpot theories going around at the moment relate to this virus being somehow engineered. That is demonstrably false, close quote. What? In 4 days, this guy went from this looks engineered to now that's demonstrably false. 4 days he went from this isn't consistent with evolutionary theory. Now we know it's totally evolutionary. But it gets even better. It gets even better. Mr. Anderson and three of the other people on this call write an article a few weeks later that says COVID is not a laboratory construct. And while they're writing that article, there's an email from March 6th where Mr. Anderson offers to let Dr. Fauci edit the article before it's published. And here's the kicker. Here's the kicker. When the article is published, Dr. Fauci cites it at a White House press conference when he is asked by a reporter about the origin of the virus. Cites the very article he put in motion on the conference call and he was allowed to edit. At the White House, where he's supposed to be giving the American people the truth, he references an article that he manufactured. Now, maybe I'm wrong about all this. Maybe it didn't work out this way. I think I'm right. Maybe it didn't work out this way. But it would have been nice, Mr. Chairman, if Dr. Fauci would come today and answer our questions. He could have come here and defended himself, but he didn't have the courage to do it. And you know else who wouldn't come? Remember that email about the P3 framework? We invited Dr. Hassel to come too. He's the individual who chairs that oversight board. We invited him to come today too, and he wouldn't come. I'm convinced these guys knew right from the get-go what the truth was, and they misled the American people. Oh, here's the other thing. You know that conference call? That conference call? We got the emails regarding the conference call from February 2nd. All these guys were emailing back and forth. They were on that conference call. Here's what we got on the FOIA request. Here's all their emails. Every single thing is redacted. Every single thing is redacted about what took place in that conference call, because I'm convinced it was at that conference call where they said, we got to cover our tracks. And again, maybe I'm wrong, but Dr. Fauci could have been sitting right there and answering our questions, and he wouldn't come today.
Interesting, huh? Interesting indeed. And look, as Senator Jordan said, and I thought was a very, very good presentation, strong presentation, that when you mix it with what everyone is already known and kind of heard in the first place, I think it's interesting. And like you said, maybe it's all a coincidence. Maybe it's just absolutely nothing. But I don't think so. And come on, we all know that this guy, Fauci, has been taking us on a ride for well over a year at this point. And the emails and other things that have been discussed in separate ways certainly seem to indicate a cover-up of sorts. That they didn't want this to get out there. They didn't want mud on their face. Whether they engineered it or whether they just knew about it and didn't want it to look bad, it doesn't matter. It's not good. And you see his behavior throughout the past year. It's been off. It's been inconsistent. Very, very inconsistent, in fact. So either we're all right, Fauci knew, and or possibly was involved with engineering, or he's just a really bad doctor. When you see and hear his flip-flopping on the virus itself, on the origins of the virus, on masks, on vaccines, on all of that stuff. I mean, how he's gotten to this point where there's this much flip-flopping going on and how he understands this little about the virus and its strains is concerning. So could it be that? Could he have known we were right, or he's just a bad doctor? Maybe it's both, but I think it's the former. I think it's the former. I think he's struggled because this is not what he does. And you see these types of inconsistencies in people when it's not what they do. He struggled to find ways to hide his fingerprints on this, to hide his involvement in this. And seeing emails like Jordan showed at the end there that are fully redacted, the whole page grayed out, doesn't help his cause either. Transparency does, but there hasn't been a whole lot of that. Consistency does, but there certainly hasn't been that. And by the way, every expert that served as a witness yesterday said that they believe it was leaked from a lab. Take a listen.
As inconvenient as it is, I believe the evidence conclusively establishes that the COVID pandemic was not a natural process, but instead came from a laboratory in Wuhan, China, and that it has the fingerprints of genetic manipulation through a process called gain-of-function research.
And there are, in my mind, five compelling sets of scientific evidence that allow us to reach this very strong conclusion that, yes, it was a laboratory leak.
I assess that the most likely origin was an accidental infection of laboratory personnel from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Whether the Chinese did this deliberately or not, in terms of creating this pathogen, I think the chances are that they were working on it and it was funded by the military. I'm very confident in that.
All right, so there you go. Everyone's saying that. And so bottom line is where this leaves us is that everyone who's said for the past year that this is the case, that this looks engineered, that this looks like there's a lot of politics and a lot of covering up going on, all of that stuff, everyone who said that has been called a conspiracy theorist by big tech, the mainstream media, the government, obviously the Democrats. They've been called that, but everyone who said that, at least to a certain extent, is right. They're right. A lot of this stuff has been pretty obvious, pretty clear as day to see. Even just the casual observer can pick up. And you know how I feel about conspiracy theories. I hate them. I don't chase them down. I don't particularly appreciate people who are prone to following them. And man, there's some stuff out there, and we've talked about some of it on the show. And it's gotten louder in the past year. There's some stuff out there that people are peddling that is utter bullshit. Utter bullshit. And it's killing, by the way, momentum on the conservative side. It's killing credibility on the conservative side. And you think you're helping by believing it. You think you're awake and that other people aren't and just don't get it. But really, you're just gullible, batshit crazy, hurting what we're trying to do with this country. But on stuff like this, the election, where there's some obvious concerns, this COVID stuff, stating the facts and or just concerns. Again, we don't have all of the facts with the election, but stating concerns, asking questions, even that gets you labeled a conspiracy theorist. But stating the facts and asking questions is not akin to believing in a conspiracy theory. It's just being curious and wanting the truth. But it's a tactic of the left. This is what they do. You question them. They try to disarm you. They try to paint you in a corner, have everyone go after you by saying you're a conspiracy theorist. It's the same thing as how they claim that you're racist if you disagree with them. You're a bigot if you disagree with them. You're a fascist if you disagree with them. That's just how they do things, which is why I always say none of those terms have any effect on me, because I get called them all the time. I don't care. I could care less. It's a great benefit of being a sociopath. But I wonder, with all of this, how the media responds. You're starting to see more and more people come out and write articles about, oh, it looks like it was engineered in a lab. No shit, that's what we've been telling you. And you've been coming after us for telling you that. And I wonder how big tech's going to respond. How do they play this? Because you've shadow banned people, suspended people, kicked people off your platform for talking about some of these very same issues. It's a strange-ass world we're living in. I'll tell you that much. Daggum. All right, then speaking of not being able to talk about things, we'll just touch on this quick. But we mentioned NSA yesterday, and it was a great comment by Red Voice earlier saying, just have email, Fauci email NSA, or Tucker, excuse me, NSA will pick it all up. And speaking of them, we talked about NSA yesterday and how it would appear that Tucker Carlson and his staff have been monitored by NSA. A whistleblower confirmed this report of this to Tucker and his team, and Tucker outlined a very compelling story associated with this. But NSA has now responded, and they issued this statement, and I'll read it. On June 28th, 2021, Tucker Carlson alleged that the National Security Agency has been monitoring our electronic communications and is planning to leak them in an attempt to take this show off the air. This allegation is untrue. Tucker Carlson has never been an intelligence target of the agency, and the NSA has never had any plans to try to take his program off the air. NSA has a foreign intelligence mission. We target foreign powers to generate insights on foreign activities that could harm the United States. With limited exceptions, i.e. an emergency, NSA may not target a U.S. citizen without a court order that explicitly authorizes the targeting. So they put that out there. And obviously they're going to say that. Obviously they're not going to be like, all right, you caught us. You got it. All right, boom. We're done. But they put this statement out there. But here's the problem with it. And I don't get why people do this. Because look, if you're not hiding anything, and I get it. I spent my adult life working in the Intel community. Spent a little bit of time working there at NSA at the very, very beginning. But they put this statement out, and then they did not allow replies or comments on social media. Turn them off. So when people already have a trust issue with our three-letter agencies in the government agencies that make up our national security apparatus, something's brought into question. You say what, of course, anyone would say, whether you're saying it truthfully or whether you're covering your bases. But then you don't let anyone engage or respond. And are those responses going to do anything? No, of course not. And are you going to get them no matter what you say or do? Of course you are. That's social media. That's Twitter. Twitter is literally hell on earth. But it's not a good look. It's not a good look. It does not help your cause. You've got Matt Gaetz and others now calling for an Inspector General investigation into this to see if it in fact happened. I don't think it's going to go anywhere. Are they doing it? I don't know. Does it make sense that they would be? In this day and age, sadly, yes. But will anything change? Will anything be done? I fear not. All right, going to hit on two other quick stories, and then I wanted to take some extra comments and questions today since it's our last show before the break. But real quick, let's hear from UFM Underwear for Men. Men, we have a lot of serious problems in the world. Some are outside of our control, and some are within. One that you most certainly can control is what's happening south of your border. I am talking about your junk, and UFM Underwear for Men has the solution. Most men's underwear these days do not provide actual support, but rest easy, UFM's do. Their patented pouch system eliminates all skin-on-skin contact in your nether regions and move with your body so you can go from one activity to the next without a second thought. They're great for sports, work, everyday use. There's even certain medical applications as well, all because of their unique drawstring adjustable support pouch that allows you to increase the support to your preference and provides actual support. So support your manhood. Treat yourself right. You deserve it. Go to UFMunderwear.com. Use promo code Drew to save $6. Ladies, you can do the same thing. Head on over there at UFMunderwear.com. Use promo code Drew to save $6. All right. Then I wanted to share this real quick. Someone said don't show a CNN clip earlier today. It really kind of is, but it's not labeled or branded that way. But we've talked CNN this week. So we talked about Jake Tapper and his show In Decline. We talk about Brian Stelter all the time because he's just a waste of a human being. But I wanted to share this because Jim Acosta is a tool. No one likes Jim Acosta. He's got a face that just says, punch me. We all know that. But look at this interaction between him and Rep. Mo Brooks, because I think it's pretty awesome. I love how Mo Brooks handles this. Take a listen, then we'll talk.
So you take the bike to work, huh?
Sometimes.
Congressman, is there any way we could get you to talk about January 6th?
I do not do interviews with CNN because I do not trust CNN to be honorable or truthful.
Well, can I ask you, do you still believe Antifa was behind January 6th?
I've already said what I'm going to say. I don't trust y'all to be truthful or honest.
Well, can you tell us if you regret what you said on January
6th? I do not trust CNN to be truthful or honest, so I do not.
Well, I'm just asking you questions. I'm asking you fair questions here, sir. Why can't you answer the question?
I do not trust y'all to be truthful or honest with anything CNN does.
It's on video. If you can just talk to us for a moment.
Oh, you guys will lie through your teeth any chance you get.
Well, give you the chance to come on if you don't mind.
All right. I love it. I love that Brooks calls out CNN and Acosta. And this, it needs to be done more. It needs to be done more because this is where we, I don't like this is where we are, but this is where we are. We've got a media that is the most divisive tool, divisive. You've got the most divisive tool on the planet, peddling garbage. And honestly, if you're Jim Acosta, who again is just a douchebag, he's always smug to anyone and everyone he talks to. And then if you're his network, CNN, or your MSNBC, what did you think was going to happen after years and years of vicious, aggressive partisan attacks? Your hateful networks. People are going to not like you. Sure, during the election, people are going to tune in to the other side because we're divided. But they don't like you. They don't trust you. You don't have credibility. And they wonder why their ratings, in the case of CNN, are down nearly 70%, up at 67, and nearly 50% for MSNBC, a 49% dip. But I love it. I love any time that people like Acosta, Cuomo. In fairness, Stelter's not really an aggressive, smug douche. He's just, again, just worthless. But when people like Acosta and them are called out and get the treatment back that they deserve, because that's what they dish out to everybody. All right, then I want to end here. And then, like I said, we'll take some additional comments today. But take a listen to this. You've maybe seen this on social. It's been out there the last day or two, but I wanted to play it. But take a listen to this woke teacher who's trying to go viral and does so by making an argument against something that no one's ever really said or tried to push back against. Take a listen.
So a response to Republicans whenever you say we should teach about slavery or the genocide of indigenous people in the classroom is, oh, well, it happened so long ago. Why do they need to know? Why does anyone need to know? Okay, why do you learn about the Holocaust? Why do you learn about the Rwandan genocide? Why do you learn about imperialism? Why do you learn about the Enlightenment? Why do you learn about the Soviet Union? Why do you learn about the American Revolution? Why do you learn about the Civil War? All those things were in the past. Why do we learn about them? It's almost as though there's a class you take in school where you talk about things that happened in the past. Wait a minute.
I mean, I love it. I love how she does that at the end, too. The wait a minute, like as though she was clever. And you know that she took a lot of time to think about, prepare that message. A message that literally makes no sense. No one has ever made that argument, not once. So she just wants to have one of those viral venting videos, but you literally vented about something that you're accusing us of doing that we've never done. In fact, it's the opposite. If anyone's for teaching history, it's conservatives. We don't like changing it or erasing it because it offends you or hurts your feelings. That's not how we ever do things. We have talked about critical race theory and anti-American teachings that you guys love. We've talked about the things I just mentioned, how you want to change, erase parts of history that make you uncomfortable. We're all about teaching history, though. The good parts, the bad parts, stuff in between. But it's important to show clips like this because this is how dumb, how emotional, misinformed the other side is. And what's scary, and I always say this for people like AOC and Ilhan Omar, who, by the way, is standing by her comments equating the U.S. and Israel to Hamas and the Taliban today. But the thing that concerns me most is not dumb chicks like this. Like, she's dumb as a pile of bricks. AOC, dumb as a pile of bricks. But it's the fact that there are people who listen to them and are somehow remarkably dumber than they are. That's a scary thought. That's worse than any horror movie you've ever seen. Wow. Just wow. All right, can I get to some comments? Exactly, Randy. We learn from our history, both good and bad. James says, big history lover here. That's awesome, James, as you should be, as everyone should be. Good to see you too, Pocket Nova. Sharon says, ban the teachers union. Man, there's more to even do than that. There's so much wrong with our education system. So much wrong. I don't know what you even do. As Red Voice says, just say no to public schools. It's time for a private school, if you know, and they are very clear about their intentions, about what they teach, where they stand on the Constitution, faith, all of those things, whatever matters to you. But you need to know that. Or it's time to just go to the homeschool plan. It's growing in popularity, not because they've gotten better, they have, but because it's critical. If you do not want your kid indoctrinated by some angry purple-haired chick or some dumb chick like this, You need to make the change. You need to make the change. Mark Anthony, why haven't we learned about the communist infiltration of America? Exactly. They're not talking about it. They're just doing it. And then when you question it, no, we're not doing it. Literally, that's their only response. It's clear as day what they're doing. Some of them have said it. But most of them, the party line is, no, we're not doing that. We can't tell you we're doing that because then people will wise up. We can't take advantage of as many gullible, naive people. Wild. All right, some comments here. Bravo said earlier, I don't trust either side anymore. American politics and government is a shit show running down our legs. Love the description because it's true. It's perfect. Hopefully you haven't experienced that out in public because that's just uncomfortable and embarrassing for you and really everyone around. But that's a perfect description. No one, look, these people are not in it for you or for me or even for this country. I know that they say that in their ads. I know that they say that in the campaign trail at meet and greets when they stop into a diner for a photo op. They don't give a shit about anyone in that diner, though. They bring, they're no more valued than a napkin laying on the floor in one of those diners are the people. They are in it for themselves, 100%, with the rare exception of a small percentage of them who are then usually subsequently forced out because they aren't willing to play the game. And they could therefore expose how the others are playing the game and have lasted and made this gravy train continue on for so long. So I wouldn't trust a whole lot of them. They all can be gotten to, and most of them have been gotten to on both sides. And that's why the outsiders, you always see the outsiders get attacked the most. Because it's like, oh shit, someone's coming in from the outside. They're going to see how we do this. And they could tell someone. They could tell someone. So we have to get them out. We have to join together. You want to see bipartisan efforts again in this country? Have someone like Trump in office, who everyone's scared to death of, that he's going to do the right thing for the country and expose what really happens in D.C. You'll see, and we've seen, bipartisan people come together. They won't say that. They won't say that out loud. But they will get together and have a drink and some of Nancy Pelosi's expensive ice cream and say, okay, how do we do this? How do we do this? I'm willing to help you. You help me. We'll get back to on track. Red Voice said earlier, weekly worded statement talking about NSA's statement that they came out and made. And it was. Look, basically what they said is, well, we couldn't do that because our charter says that we can only do this. That's not a genuine response. I get from working in the community, that's what the intel community, we never say much. That's part of the mystique and part of the things that just goes with the territory. But we're in a different age now. Things have changed. And when we've seen actual documented instances of the government using their tools against whether it's politicians or private citizens, what have you, and then something like this comes up in this hyper-partisan world that we live in with Tucker Carlson, the loudest, most prominent, most important voice, you could argue, in conservative politics. And it deserves more than that. It just deserves more than that. All right. FTW. Nothing is ever done about corruption. You're right. Sadly. Unless it's on the conservative side, then sometimes action is taken. But on the other side, never. Slap on the wrist at most. Usually just, hey, you're going to have to go through... You're going to have to go through some mudslinging and some public humiliation for a day or two until we can get a scandal spun up to distract and put the emphasis on that, and then we'll make that go away. But there's no consequences. There are two systems in this country, one for them and one for the rest of us. Going back to the comment earlier, James says, teachers union won't like that, Drew. It threatens their turf. Absolutely. But we got to make people who feel threatened feel threatened. And we got to make people who feel uncomfortable feel uncomfortable. It's not enough, and I'm not just talking to you, the audience, but But to all conservatives and all Americans who love their freedom and cherish their freedom, it's not enough to just say they're doing something wrong, they're doing something bad. Do something about it. I'm not saying do something violent about it. I'm not saying go do something crazy. I'm just saying get involved. Get involved. Get behind someone who's involved. Support them. Do something, though. Take your kids out. Explain to other people how the school system is so jacked. All right, looking for a couple more comments here. Keep them coming in. Sharon, our son in kindergarten led a walkout. Mostly military kids. That's awesome. Sarah Lee, that teacher is ridiculous. You're right. Absolutely right. Elena, destruction at all different levels, creating crisis, that is the plan. That is. Absolutely. Chaos is the name of the game for them. And Sharon, that's an interesting story you bring up there. Sharon says, the IRS already making negative ruling against conservatives and Christian organizations like Obama did. There's been that instance here lately about a faith organization that was denied their 501c3 status. And there's concerns, growing concerns, because again, we saw this happen under Obama. There's growing concerns that the IRS will again be used as a tool. And it looks like they've, at least in one case, already been used as a tool. And Lord knows where else they're going to go with it. But when the government is being used it expands beyond the IRS. We've seen it with the FBI. We've got concerns with the NSA. We've got concerns with lots of different places. But when the government's being used as a tool, it's a real problem. And it has been, and it's not just now. It's not just even Obama. There's plenty of instances. But everyone, all Americans should see that as a problem. Not as a, oh, they got our back. No, they don't. Just trust me. No one in D.C. has your back. No one. Mark Anthony, I'm tired of being, concerned about their feelings while they ruin America. Exactly. Most people do not care. You should know this, and I'm sure you do. But most people do not really care what you think, say, or do. They care about themselves. And on the radical left, they particularly could care less about you. You get in their way, you have a different view, and they will go after you. They will go after your family. They will do all sorts of nasty stuff, whether verbally, physically, or otherwise. So why do you care what they think? Why play nice with them? Those times are over. I prefer to not have conflict. I'd much rather just sit back and have a drink, play some George Strait, whatever, fill in the blank, and chill. We can't just let this continue to happen, because the other side is we're going to be loud, aggressive, rude, inappropriate. And most people won't push back because they just don't want to deal with it. And then we will get our way and we will get louder and we will accomplish more. And you just can't do it. Can't do it. All right. And hey, Robin, good to see you. Scrolling down. Obama has a heat rash. That's funny. John Murphy, Biden says the government's going to take care of us. That is their plan. The Democrats, and particularly this new progressive movement within the Democrats, who are less quietly now, but have been quietly trying to instill Marxist values, want a big government. They want a government that you have to rely on. Let us make things so awful that you'll wait. Think about the people who wouldn't go outside without a mask, or wouldn't do this, or wouldn't see friends and family until the government said it was okay. And they got paid by the government. Hey, we need more money. Can you give it to us? They want this big government plan that has you relying on them. And they're going to do it in a way where it's somewhat convincing for some people. We can give you this, we can give you that, we can give you that for free. We'll take care of this, we'll take care of that. Here's the deal, though. And some people will say, okay, I'm in. And those some people are going to regret it. I promise. Sarah Lee, good for you. She said, I left the Democrat Party, hashtag walk away. A lot more will in time. A lot have now, but a lot more need to, and I think a lot more will as more and more comes out. Upchuck 89, I'm going to use my child tax money to buy guns and ammo. Smart. Smart, smart. Sharon, by the way, hubby thrilled with his UFM that he got for Father's Day, said, thanks, UFM. They'll be glad to hear that. I'll pass that along if they're not listening to this episode. But they are great, and thanks for supporting them, buying from them, which, of course, goes to support the show and everything we're doing here. They're great people there. Great people there. You guys should check them out if you haven't. Used promo code Drew, and you'll save. All right, we'll do one or two more and then going to take off. Diane, I always say the Salvation Army, my church sold its soul when they took government funds. It's hard. You get how people fall into these traps. They're desperate, they need it, or they listen to a compelling argument. But can't be done. All right, so real quick, as a reminder, and I'll take that comment here in a second. Well, I'll go back to what I was going to say in a second. Whiskey Rebel says over on Rumble that Lee Smith is theorizing that Tucker's recent trip to El Salvador may have exposed him to indirect NSA surveillance as he met with government officials there. And look, who knows? Who knows? I guess you're not going to know the truth. And there's a lot of people even in the intel community because of need to know and all of that, that of course won't know either, but we're probably just not going to know. The bottom line though is the way that they are playing it, the way that this administration is playing it, and the way that Obama's first and second term played it is it's dangerous. It's dangerous. And it's a scary, scary time for our country, which I know you agree with, Whiskey, but I think, that's an interesting theory. We'll have to see if it gets any legs. I don't know if we will. I don't know if we will. Thank you, Diane. All right, so reminder. We're going on break starting today. We'll be back in July. We'll give you the exact date and time there. There'll be updates coming out between now and then, but I did want to remind you of that. I also wanted to remind you, I don't think we have the graphic in the TriCaster today, but I also wanted to remind you to please go over to locals.com, sign up for free, and then join the Drew Berkowitz community. It's super easy. Again, locals.com, locals.com. Sign up and then join the Drew Berkowitz community. It'll help. There'll be more and more posts coming there for the next couple of days. You might be like, well, I don't see any posts. It's part of the plan. It's part of the plan, but there will be. It's free. It's easy to use. It's free from censorship, and there will be more news on that. Some videos, some graphics coming out on what we'll be doing there. You'll be able to watch and listen to the show there if you want. You can watch and listen to the show wherever you are right now. You'll be able to read articles, see other posts, all sorts of other stuff. Then there's going to be some other stuff in other ways that we engage in a more interactive way with the community once we're back in action. So please do go check that out. Get your account now so you're not behind. Against locals.com, and then search Drew Berkowitz and join that community. We'll look forward to it. We'll look forward to doing that. We'll look forward to seeing you guys real soon. We appreciate you being patient with us and affording us this break so we can work on some of the things we need to work on and also celebrate time with our families and celebrate this badass country that we live in. As troubled as it is right now, it is still the best place on the planet. So have a great 4th. Have a blessed 4th. Enjoy it. Celebrate this country. We'll rock the rest of this year out. When we're back, and look forward to doing it with all of you. Be safe, be smart, be free. We'll see you soon.